Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm so pleased, and I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Double Take. I thought we might be doing Breakfast at Tiffany's this week. And then all of a sudden you say you're going to see the Sheep Detectives. And I said, well, good luck on that, Mary. And because, of course, as my consigliere here, you advised that maybe this would be a good one for us to do. And because I have complete confidence in your taste and your ability, I said, right away, let's do it. And so I did some exploring just to see what people were saying about it. And it's a winner, the Sheep Detectives. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
What's the deal, Mary?
So this is based on a 2005 German novel originally called Three Bags Full. Although that novel has whimsy and fun with it as well, it also has a little bit more darkness. And this was adapted by Craig Mazin, who's an American, dispensed with some of the gorier, darker aspects of the novel, and we end up with basically a wonderful family film that involves sheep actually becoming detectives to find out who killed their beloved shepherd, George Hardy.
Played by Hugh Jackman.
Well, I have to say, that was one of my inspirations for wanting to see the film.
But I knew right away, since he was going to be murdered, that we wouldn't be seeing that much of him, because it shifts to the sheep who have been listening to tales that he's been reading to them, mystery tales, and he had no clue that they were actually understanding what he was doing. The conceit here is that they decide they know enough about this mystery business that they can go ahead and find the murderer.
They can't. George has become somewhat of a recluse. He lives near a small English town. He lives in an Airstream trailer on his property that is in the middle of the meadow with his sheep. And he raises sheep for wool, not for slaughter. He's named them all. He reads to them from these novels every night, not thinking that they're understanding, when in fact they do. And it's a wonderful flock that's realized not only through incredible puppetry and CGI, but also the voices of the actors give each of them such a distinct personality. And if you actually read the credits, each sheep is identified by breed.
Yes.
So there are multiple breeds
right.
of sheep represented here in addition to their names. And it's just wonderfully done.
And it's shot in rural England and on a farm, but as far as the eye can see is the meadow.
Yes.
And it's just a beautiful setting.
It's gorgeous.
I know.
So beautiful.
And it's filled with eccentric characters. And if you troll around England and some of these small villages, you're for sure going to see some of these characters.
Just a few.
Just a few of them. But Mary, you mentioned they laid off on some of the darkness. Isn't there darkness in The Sheep Detectives?
I mean, there certainly is, because it deals with the issue of, obviously, death and murder.
Yes.
But it's handled in a way that doesn't focus on gore and really treats it with dignity and respect, and how the sheep, especially the lead sheep, Lily, previously views death, and that sheep become clouds and are able to forget anything at will that isn't pleasant to them. She's living in a bit of a fantasy world, and through losing George, she comes to understand the importance of remembering, and that death does happen as a part of the cycle of life. So it's handled in a lovely way, and not unlike a lot of family films. I mean, Bambi was famous for Bambi's mom dies in the first few minutes of the film.
Correct.
And I think the key here is that the process of death, accepting death, loving and having relationships, all of that is handled, I think, in a very humane and appropriate way for all ages.
The explanation is perfect, because you're thinking about, can I take my kids? Yeah, not really young kids. They would never understand that. But I think when you get into the 8, 9, 10-year-old,
absolutely,
there's a chance here that this may be meaningful to them.
Well, and at that stage in your life, you likely have experienced death through a pet or a grandparent or someone closer to you. And so to be able to have a film that treats it with dignity and respect for the audience members while bringing so much beauty and joy and even humor to the story, is it makes it really quite enjoyable for the entire family to see.
Yeah, and that's a good word. I think the entire family, and if you as an adult think this is, you can go do something, get a beer and whatever, no, you stay with this. This is really very meaningful in a most delightful way, if I could.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I even got a little choked up at a couple of scenes, even though the sheep were either puppets or CGI. But it's the nature of the relationship and the relationships that they have, especially Lily with George. We see some flashback scenes or some present scenes where she's imagining George being there and what he would say to her.
Yes.
And it just is so touching and so sweet.
Well, two important things that you're describing. First, you're failing to tell people that the great voice of Lily is
Julia Louise Dreyfus.
And wow, is she good. And you know that Dreyfus is so talented as an actress, and her voice is just as talented. And she is the smartest of the sheep.
Yes.
At least George believes that she is the smartest. And
yes,
as we see it, yeah, she really is. And I touches on some myths about sheep, one of them being that, you know, if we're not following our own inclination, but being led around, we're usually considered to be sheep.
Right.
Because they're easily movable from one place
right.
to another. And these people, there's just maybe even a hint of the how provincial they are. But heck, there's so many of us. I even have friends who are provincial who won't go anywhere. The great metaphor here is the road.
Yes. And it's a funny scene. It's actually in the trailer where Maupel, who's voiced by the wonderful comedian and actor Chris O'Dowd, and
yes,
Lily are going to leave the pasture so that they can help solve the mystery of who killed George. And the dialogue they have about whether or not they should actually step onto the pavement and what it is, whether they should go across, and it's just wonderful.
When you see the beautiful setting, the bucolic setting, it almost is something where you say, well, don't bother to go. You guys have got it made here. But it is so true to life. In any way, human or animal, a willingness to stay where you are rather than to branch out, to adventure out, as this was, is so very well taken in this film.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean,
and typical of the way it doesn't act like a messenger to you. It simply tells.
It just simply tells the story from
yeah.
the vantage point of the
yeah.
sheep. You have old sheep and you have young sheep.
Yes.
And you have a couple of sheep who are somewhat outsiders to the flock. You have the older Sebastian, who
oh, yeah.
we learn his story.
Voiced by Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
Wow.
Exactly.
They're a good voice.
And we also have the Winter Lamb.
Yes. To explain that, because I think that's a really neat concept.
So
here,
apparently, sheep flocks will reject a lamb not born in the spring.
Yeah.
And so in this case of this story, winter lambs are outsiders who aren't accepted but are kind of around. And George loves all the sheep. So he rescues Sebastian from a bad situation earlier in his life. And he is tending to the winter lamb, the little winter lamb. And so it also has that theme of outsiders
yeah.
and othering people and not treating them well. And so there's just so many wonderful
yes.
lessons about humanity taught through
oh.
this flock of sheep as they try and solve this mystery.
Yeah, it's so true. And accepting people who are different from you.
Yes.
You know, and I thought that winter lamb idea was just perfect.
And not to mention the winter lamb is just as cute as a button.
that's, they load that one.
Yes. And we also have the townspeople who bring their own humor and their own ineptness and vitality to the story. I do think the movie, if I had one criticism, is you had Hung Chow and Emma Thompson in a couple of townspeople roles, and I thought they were underutilized, especially Emma Thompson, because her character is written with such wit. You really wanted more of her on
she
screen.
Takes over.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and she's not on screen that much, but you wanted her to be. So I thought that aspect of it, when they were with the sheep, was when the film was the strongest. Townspeople could have been a little more strong and a little more prominent.
Well, I thought the cop was just a bit too goofy for me.
Yes.
It's comic, and I realize that. But they went over just a little bit on his. He's the only cop there.
Yes, Denver is a one-cop town. Yeah, right. He is not a detective.
Right, yeah. He's not stupid, but he's not yet bright. I mean, this is his first big case.
Yes.
You know,
And one thing, as an adult, having seen many procedurals either on television or on film, is I'm watching him handle the crime scene of finding George's body, and I'm like, you haven't taken any pictures. You haven't gone in his trailer.
You haven't gone in his trailer.
You're really bad at your job.
Well, they also, there are other things that they do that are unrealistic. For instance, to find out that the estate that's in the will is worth $30 million. Excuse me, we're in England. It's not dollars, but they do that.
Well, they do that. And I gave them that because... one, the director Kyle Balda is an American, and the screenwriter Craig Mazin is American as well. But his daughter has been raised, as we learn, in America, so they may have referred to that in dollars, so that she, to whom that money was left, understood the amount.
The other one for me was calling Emma Thompson's character a lawyer.
That's true. She would have been a solicitor.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, so they do the little, but I think it's amusing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we know that they would do it if they need to, but I think your argument, as well as the fact that the vast audience here would be mostly English-speaking American, so they would. But anyway, everything else seems so British. So, and Mary, what do you suggest on the sheep detectives?
I suggest that you and your family and friends go see it. You will be delighted and appreciate being woven in to this childhood story.
Yeah, and another theme as you were mentioning, that I really liked here was memory. That kids begin to learn that the way you keep a hold on people who die is the memory.
And you remember them.
Yeah, you remember them, and that's when they can. And I think that's some very neat concept. So it's delightful, and if you have kids of an age where they're becoming really responsible, past their 8 and 9, it's worth being able to discuss the idea of memory, the idea of death, and the idea of trust and all.
And the idea of outsiders and welcoming the stranger.
For sure.
There's just so many wonderful themes, as you said earlier, that aren't prominently pushed on you, but are there, and they're there for you to discover and to hopefully discuss with your family after you see it.
So don't be a bunch of sheep. Go.
Go. Bye.
Well, Mary Arena, as we discuss the sheep detectives, I'm wondering if you have anything else in your vast research before we get to some old, maybe family films.
Well, one of the things that I really enjoyed learning about this was the journey that this film took. So the book was in German, came out in 2005. The author is Leonie Swan, and it became an instant bestseller. It's been translated into, I think, over 40 languages, international bestseller. But it took 20 years to bring this film forward. In fact, Craig Mazin had been given the book and loved it so much, he wrote the script shortly after the book was published. Yes. And unfortunately, it took over 10 years to get the rights. This film was actually made in England in 2024. Due to scheduling with regards to other films and timing, it got bumped to be released in late 2025. And here we are in May of 2026, and it's finally been released to cinemas, and it just shows the journey that creative works can take.
I have such respect for this business and such respect for what you invest when you get into it. I have a friend who has had a very fine script. It's been years.
And he's been had years.
Interest.
But when something like this finally gets made, yes, and you get, quite frankly, a great pedigree in the cast with Hugh Jackman, Emma Thompson, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bryan Cranston, Brett Goldstein, who's you may be familiar with from Ted Lasso and Shrinking. It's just a great cast, and it really makes this story come to life and so worth seeing. I'm so glad it finally made it to the theaters.
And the director, Kyle Balda, was the first director of Minions.
Yes, and his pedigree goes back into the Pixar days. That's where he really cut his creative teeth, so to speak. And this is his first live action film with a lot of puppetry and CGI involved in terms of animation, which is his strength, the interviews with the cast indicate what a wonderful environment he created on the set, how much joy and play that they had in making this film. And I think it comes across in the character, how much joy they took in making the film, and now they want to see it do well and have an audience finally see it.
There's a clip, and it probably is on YouTube, but it was a hot link that I thought, in which they talked about making this, and it's so interesting to see.
Very interesting.
And the little kids would be adorable and live if they weren't just the voices. Did you see those three? Those kids are just so cute.
They were very cute.
And I liked the way that they had a lot of puppetry in it.
A lot of puppetry. It's not just CGI.
Yeah.
In fact, the actors had cutouts of some of the
yes.
characters
yes.
placed to react to, and they had humans with puppet heads.
Yes, yes.
And they also had stuffed animals. In fact, their winter lamb, there's a scene where the winter lamb runs a little bit through the meadow and jumps into the arms of George, our sheep herder. They used an actual stuffed animal with somebody from the crew making it run and then leaping into his arms. And then they obviously eliminated the human.
Yes.
And then CGI'd the character of the
yes.
winter lamb in place of the stuffed animal. So it was just really fascinating watching the different techniques, both old combined with ultimately the new, to create this environment of sheeps and flocks and
yeah, well,
all
and,
of it.
And when you advise people about this film, you're going to have to tell them it's not an animation. It is partly.
It's partly.
It partly is, but mostly it's live action.
Well, and it's interesting you bring up the partly, because probably the film that most people remember that really was stunning in that regard was Babe.
Now, Babe is the...
And it's also about a shepherd with his sheep, but with a herding pig named Babe.
Yeah.
And this film has actually been described as Babe meets Knives Out.
Right, Babe. Yeah, it's the first one you'll think about. It has
absolutely.
That whole spirit of Babe.
There's something about sheep, because we have Babe, we have the sheep detectives, we have all of the wonderful Aardman video, Shaun the Sheep movies.
Yep.
There's something about sheep in cinema.
They're so benign. They're just adorable. So they make it that the sheep themselves think that there's no death. It's just they become clouds.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they're just
they're full of whimsy and joy.
They really are. So they make. And Kyle Balda also did, which I thought was in a different way, a Despicable Me.
Yes,
there's a guy, a talented guy.
Yes,
Despicable is one of my favorite because it's so filled with sarcasm and irony.
And nobody would ever accuse you of being sarcastic,
no, right.
John.
Yeah. I grew up on it, so when I see that, yeah, I go. But what a tribute to
yes.
These people, well, they're all geniuses.
Well, and it just shows the breadth of understanding that a director like Kyle Balda can bring.
Yes.
And to transition from complete animation to a live-action film for the first time, it goes back to the heart of the craft, which is a great script and great storytelling. And if you've got those elements, the rest of it, if you're talented, can really fall into place. And in this case, I think it really does. And whether or not it becomes a family film classic will remain to be seen, but I think it has potential.
And I do too, Mary. And one of the things that we do at both our Cinema Classics and our Movie Time is that we are cheerleaders for good movies. And we're always looking for good movies. And this was surely a find, and that's what we do. We collaborate with each other. So we tell each other, no, that's a good idea, or here's one that you never thought about, that kind of thing we do to collaborate, which means it's part of our research and part of our ability to bring out good films and to highlight them, to let our audience know we're not here just to criticize film. You know, so what? They call them dollars rather than pounds. We're just having fun. But mainly our objection is to lift out the brilliant parts of it, the humane parts of it, the ones that apply to everybody, and announce them to people who... Like you telling me, well, John, what do you think about the sheep detectives? I'm married sheep detectives. Well, I want to do a cartoon.
Yeah, don't go by the title.
I did. Or Mary, so we're really talking about the best kind of family film. You have any other in mind?
Well, we've talked about Babe, and actually
yeah.
the first film that I remember seeing that I wanted to see again and again and again was The Wizard of Oz
now,
from 1939.
Good choice. Nice, good choice.
And in my day, it was shown once a year on network television. We used to all gather with our popcorn and want to see it. In this day and age, my standard goes back to babysitting for my nephews, and that if you've watched a video or a movie with a young child, if they've liked it and they think it's a classic, the first thing they're going to say is again. So you have to be willing to watch a film again. And so when I thought about the numerous family films that I've put out and from my childhood, what are the films that I instantly am like, oh, yeah, if you mention it, I'm going to want to watch it again. So Wizard of Oz is the first one that comes to mind for me. What about you?
Well, I did want to say that we have a new Toy Story coming out.
We do. And I saw a preview for it with the Sheep Detective.
Yes. And so that, and talking about our director and talking about the influences, and the kind of crossbreeding that you have in all of these, those are ones. And Toy Story stands by itself in so many regards.
So many ways. And I think the thing that's been unique about Toy Story, which was in 1995, since then there's been three additional sequels and we have a fourth one coming out. And each one has told a wonderful tale of childhood in their own unique way. So for it to stand the test of time over multiple sequels without losing its charm is magic.
Oh, yeah. And I think similarly, you have one that seems to be universally popular, and this would be The Lion King.
Isn't yes.
It? Yeah. You know, this is something the movies do that's just magic.
Well, Disney doesn't miss the mark often.
That's a good point.
In fact, I had Beauty and the Beast on my list from 1991 because that was the first full-length animated film that I think was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture.
Good.
It's one of those films like The Lion King that had great music, great animation, and for Beauty and the Beast, I can't remember Lion King, but Beauty and the Beast was still at a time where it was all done by hand. Mm-hmm. And when you watch the Be My Guest number and you see all of those candles peel back in a big kick line, and all of that was done by hand, it just blows you away, the artistry of that film.
And one that does, well, there is some animation in it, but one I think that's again universally appealing would have to be, for me, Mary Poppins.
Which one?
Well, and see, I said that specifically because, of course, my memory just is unable to distinguish anything, but the lyrical qualities of that seem to appeal to everybody.
Well, the original 1964 with the incredible Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, who are both still with us, is truly a classic. The one that was remade that we reviewed actually a few years ago with Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda certainly was wonderful and paid homage in such a lovely way to the original. Whether or not that becomes a classic, I don't know, but certainly the 1964 version I would view as a classic family film.
Yeah, and we're not the only ones who do animation. That is, we in the U.S., although we think like Disney dominates and so on, Miyazaki in the Asian versions has some beautifully, like Spirited Away.
Spirited Away,
You know, have some outstanding animations. Most of the ones I like that, are heavily loaded with theme, but they have a brilliant way of doing it so that I don't feel like I'm being tortured in watching. I'm just watching a really good story, and then underneath that is just a river of themes.
Well, and it goes back to, it's about the story. If you have a good story and you execute it well, that's the key. One recent film that I hope becomes a classic family film, and if you have not seen it, I would highly recommend it, is Flo from 1920.
Oh, good choice.
From 2024. It was nominated for Best Animated Feature and is wonderful story and incredibly luscious animation, and not from Disney Studios.
And I'm thinking a more recent for me is within 20 years, but whatever. How about The Sing? Did you ever see any of The Sings?
Yes, I saw the original one.
Yes, Sing. Right, which I thought was brilliant again. And the one where it dissects I don't know if that's the one where it dissects the personality, emotions of its protagonist, and it expresses that in different characters and different, which is very complicated. I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking about.
So going back even further and leaving animation for a minute, a film that struck me in my early teen years, having seen it for the first time, and granted, I'm a huge fan of Jimmy Stewart, but I would put the film Harvey from 1950 on the classic family film list. If you're not familiar with the story, it actually originated on stage. We have Edward P. Dowd, played by Jimmy Stewart, who has an imaginary friend in this 6 or 7 or 8 foot tall rabbit named Harvey.
Yes.
And it's just charming and quirky. It's appropriate for all ages. And it truly is a treat to see Jimmy Stewart in this classic film.
And appropriate when we're kind of adulating the sheep here.
Yes.
Look at rabbits.
Rabbits.
Yeah, right, yeah. And another one along the animal line, Free Willy, is a different kind of movie, but also one filled with humanity.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. And a complete side note, but that film and the orca that was used in it led to a pretty strong movement to eliminate the caging of orcas.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
For human entertainment.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about, we always talk, which, Mary, is the my last one to offer you.
Yes.
Is one that I think is reaches that classic term that you were using as to whether our film today may become a classic or not, but one I know that is a classic with all the humanity that we have in our Sheep Detectives, and that would be E.T.
Yes. Often at the top of many family film lists.
Yeah. All right, family films, and is there anything else that we've left out here, Mary, that you want to say?
Oh, there's so many great series. We didn't talk about the Harry Potter series. We didn't talk about the Star Wars series, which ultimately are about the stories of good versus evil. But oftentimes family films also have a quest or someone overcoming obstacles or challenges. And one film that it's smaller, we haven't talked about it, but I would definitely put it on your family film list, would be Akilah and the Bee, about a young girl who has a talent for spelling and makes it to the spelling bee.
Well, I knew you'd have a good one. Mary Arena, the film is The Sheep Detectives, which is so much better than its title, but yet the title is descriptive. But what do you suggest then for this?
This is a wonderful family film full of discovery at multiple levels for multiple ages, and it has the cheeky adult humor in it to keep you entertained.
Yes, right. And it's very Brit.
Very Brit. And it has Hugh Jackman, if I didn't mention that.